Oh, right. Welcome to Comes Naturally. Before we go into the intro, go to Mike for the bidnath of the free podcast.
Yes, and as always, this is an absolutely free podcast. So if you want to show any type of support, there's a couple things we ask you to do. First off, go to our Facebook page, like the Facebook page, and then share the Facebook page with your friends. Mm-hmm. After you do that, go head over to iTunes, hit subscribe on our podcast. That makes it, well, you put your finger up to stop me.
I know,
me,
I want
to
say something. So,
like, you like, stop. Keep going.
Well, no, I wanted to say something on the iTunes thing.
Raise your hand if you want to say something. You don't go stop.
But what I want to say, though, is I finally got the Facebook link to work through iTunes.
Oh, nice.
So when you're on iTunes, you can actually just click the like it, and it likes the Facebook page as long as you're logged into Facebook on whatever device you're using it on. So,
fair enough.
Just so you know.
Good insight.
The more you know.
Da, 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 da. Go ahead.
And then so, like, yeah, after that, you subscribe. That makes it to where the podcast downloads automatically for you every Friday when it becomes available, so you don't have to search for it every week or anything like that. Just bam, hot, fresh, and ready. And then after you do that, do us a favor and rate and review the podcast. That just helps get eyes on the podcast. People that are not familiar with it, just searching for things that might have something to do with our podcast, it'll increase the possibility of them finding it. So please do that.
Yeah.
That's news.
Yeah.
News is over.
All right. So, comes naturally, we are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. And we don't have a special guest today.
Yeah.
So you have to listen to just us.
Yeah.
And that's it.
The
so,
way God intended it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a special episode of favorites today. And it's going to be top 10 movies of 2014 so far.
Yeah. Well, the thought behind this was, one, we know there's some more movies that are coming out this year that will probably crack the top 10 list. But summer's technically over. And that's kind of how the movie business captures their year-end thing. They want to make sure all that good stuff. And then, like, December is kind of like their new start.
They always have at least one big blockbuster for December.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, so that's kind of like their new early start on the new year. But so, yeah, we'll probably do another one at actual year-to-date end. Maybe not. Who knows? We don't really plan these things more than 4 hours ahead of time. So
it's true.
Yeah, it's very true. So yeah,
usually
so we're
don't
doing...
find out about it until the day that we're recording it.
First off, you found out yesterday.
Right.
Well, this was the first time in a while, though.
This created everything.
As we were walking
yesterday.
Away from each other from Buffalo Wild Wings, I just hear, "Hey, Joe." So say my name?
My favorite part about that is Mike and I were discussing it through text message while sitting next to you at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Such good friends.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until afterwards, like, oh, wait.
I didn't realize because I get his text, and now with the new iOS update, it says the podcast guys when it's all three of us in a text.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice it didn't say that. I just assume every time he texts me that you're in on it and you're just being an asshole. I'm not commenting.
Because I knew you were hanging out today because we were talking about it. But I didn't know Mike was, so that's what I didn't text him, what are we recording? I asked him, hey, you hanging out tomorrow? Because I know him and his wife are on vacation-ish type thing, staycation or whatever you want to fucking call it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if like he had other plans, because we did record two episodes last week, so we have buffer, even though we already know it comes out for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But,
buffer.
Just buffer extra stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, I didn't think about it, like, you know, as we were talking about it to include you in the conversation, because we were already talking about it in text messages. Then afterwards, I was like, oh, wait, he has no idea we're talking about any of this. So, yeah. So, favorites, top 10 movies of 2014 so far.
Yeah. We're going to name this podcast So Far.
Sure, why not? we didn't discuss this before recording, so professionalism, how do you want to run this down? Do you want
out
just
the
run,
window.
Do you just want to go down your top 10, down Joe's top 10, my top 10, and then discuss them?
I
want to
start at number 5, then go every other...
Why would you start at 5?
I
want
to do
to,
every,
10 to
every second even, first odds, chronological order.
First off, you don't know how to count that well, so
that's true.
I don't think that's going to work out so well.
It's
so
not going to work.
You want to do your 10 through 6, 10 through 6, 10 through 6, 5 through 1, 5 through 1, 5 through 1?
Ooh, that'd be good. Like David Letterman style.
Yeah, except for like not dumb.
Number 10.
Yeah, throw pencils and have a gap.
Yeah.
Number 10. Yeah, we can do that. Why don't you start this one off?
Because it's the gap in his teeth. My number 10, if anyone knows me, is going to shock most people, but it's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Actually, the way that you described that movie, I thought it'd be a little bit higher than 10. Probably at least an 8 on your list.
It got bumped down by a couple things that were, to me, shocking that I liked enough this year that like would drop it down. I'll get to a couple of them. One of them hit the top 5, which I didn't not think it was going to, but I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. I'll explain later. Yeah. So Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is number 10. Number 9 is A Fantastic Fear of Everything, starring Simon Pegg. If you haven't seen it, it's fantastic. It's hilarious.
And it has a fear of everything.
It does. But it's a very odd film in the way that it's made, because it has like animated sections to it, like telling stories, but also has weird flashbacks and weird like pop-up things that like show up in this don't like, because it's all based in his head and stuff, so it's pretty funny. TMNT is number 7 on mine, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on there. Edge of Tomorrow and then Lego Movie are my 10 through 6 on mine. Joe, you want to go next?
Sure. So number 10 on my list is The Purge: Anarchy.
Boo! I haven't seen it.
It was actually a really good movie. To be honest, it probably wouldn't be on my top 10, but I only saw literally 11 movies this year that actually came out in theaters. So
did you count them?
Well, yeah, because as I was going through, the 11th one technically would have been I, Frankenstein.
Oh, that's right.
But since that was
you're welcome,
god-awful movie, even though I love Aaron Eckhart, wasn't going to make the list.
Not great at all. Not at all. Special effects were wonky. Plot made no fucking sense.
Nope. Really wonky.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Really like
wonky.
That eye. Good.
Number 9 is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Number 8 was RoboCop.
Yeah.
Number 7, Nonstop.
Oh, I forgot about Nonstop. That's right. Yeah,
you're welcome.
I won't stop.
You're welcome.
Taken 2, First Class.
Yeah.
Yeah. What should have been taken to? Yeah, no shit.
And number 6 is The November Man.
Ooh, that made your list, huh?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know if it didn't make my top 10, though.
I liked it. Yeah, I didn't love it.
It was like James Bond retired in a way.
Yeah. He had to come back to punch his fucking prick of a student in the face.
Yeah, they did piss me off a lot. The twist in that movie, I'm not going to spoil it for you, was not as shocking as it should have been, because they played it up a little too much to me, but it was still a good way to do it. The only thing that really bothered me is the and I can't think of his name right now, the dude that was running the CIA, like the top guy, was making all the decisions, you know, like he was in it, like you're like, oh, he's like super evil, and then all of a sudden he's just gone out of the movie,
because he didn't turn out to be the evil guy.
Yeah, and I was like, there's no explanation of where he went, like he's not in charge anymore. It's like, that motherfucker was in charge of the CIA. Like,
I will say, to be honest, they did pull that thing where, like, I don't remember who it was, but or it was the trainee.
Yeah,
walks into the room and he starts talking to the guy, thinking it's the original head of the CIA guy, and then literally the chair turns around and he's like, no. And you're like, oh my god, that guy's
so
evil because
he did the
evil chair turn thing.
Yeah. If we'd had a hairless cat, I'd have been like, that motherfucker is evil as shitballs. Yeah. So,
very true. Right.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
Really,
it was good times. Michael, you're 6 through 10? Or 10 through 6, everyone?
Yeah, I'll start with 10.
Good.
I'm actually putting Draft Day on there.
Fair enough.
You guys didn't see it, and some people hated on it, but it was a good movie. It was real dialogue-driven. And felt realistic, and performance is pretty good. It's kind of underrated. I think a lot of people were expecting like Field of Dreams. I think that's why people didn't like it, because it was a sports movie and it was like supposed to be feel good and stuff. I'm like, can't really do that. And it's all set in one day. I always like those kind of movies. It's all set one day,
like
so everything that's happening.
Was it set on draft day?
No, oddly enough.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, it totally was set on draft day.
Mexican Independence Day?
Yeah. It was Cinco de Mayo on October like 8th or something like that. Number 9. It makes sense if you don't think about it. So number 10, draft day. Number 9, The Raid 2.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that movie.
Good. Simply for the
I didn't see it.
Ridiculous violence in it and badass fight scenes. And that bitch with the hammers.
Oh,
and,
that blind bitch with the hammers?
God.
Lord.
Spoiler. The dude with a baseball bat.
Oh, the noise, dude. The solid thunk when he hits him with the baseball.
So what? Bad. So bad.
Thunk.
And then this one I know is kind of low on my list compared to your guys, but a Lego movie.
That's bring number in. 6?
No, 7. 10, 9, 8. I didn't number mine.
Oh, gotcha.
I just have 10 listed there. So 8 would be Lego movie. Yeah, we'll talk about that more later, I'm sure, because it's going to be higher on your list. But it's awesome. Number 7, Edge of Tomorrow, was a complete shock to me because I was like, I didn't really want to see it. End up watching it, and I was super pleasantly surprised. Yes. It's one of the best sci-fi movies in a long time. And then number 6 for me is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right.
So, and that could have been 5. You'll see what my 5 spot is. I had a hard time swapping them. Simply for the
you just cut
nostalgic, I can't wait.
Then paste.
I can't wait.
I know. Anticipation. Cliffhanger. Dun, dun, now let's dun. Cut this one off and release the 5 through no. 1 next week.
We'll do it a year later, like the Hobbit movies. We recorded all at once.
Hey, it's September 2015. So here's our top 5 for 2014 so far. Yeah.
We have to add all the CG and stuff. It's a very complicated process.
Yeah,
voiceovers and stuff. Yeah.
Little bit shocks, I think, from our bottom half on anybody. A little bit shocked that you still put Dawn, just for how much you were against even watching the first one. Have you even bothered watching the first one yet?
No.
You think you're going to go back to watching the first one?
Eventually.
You were so pissed off about how the first one looked. I watched it. I liked it, but I didn't want to watch the second one because it looked too big.
Oh, like, dude, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was the type of big you want it to be, though.
Yeah, but that's what I loved about the first one. It wasn't big. The first one was, it made sense because it was a small, contained, like, incident. So, like,
it's big in the way that, not the way that the trailer makes it look, where, like, the apes are just, like, overpowering everybody.
Yeah.
It's not at all. Like, the trailer does not do the movie justice. Like, whoever edited it for the trailer.
Same thing with the first one, just the other way.
The trailers, every tie-in makes it look like...
Yeah, like, and it's just, like, it's really not. It's very, like, it's still a very small an area that it's affected. The big part of it comes from, like, the story impact and how you feel for both sides of it, you know? And the fact that, like, the villain, in a way, is not the villain you think it's going to be. Well, actually, not even close to the villain you think it's going to be. Like, in the trailer, they paint Gary Oldman as this fucking horrible monster of a human being, and he's really not.
Oh, okay.
And he's not even the main
antagonist. See, I had planned on watching this. I just, like, later on DVD, like...
I'm not going to lie to you. Prepare to cry. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even joking you.
I'm crying because there's no James Franco in this one.
He's in it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Or just flashback scenes?
He's in a video.
Yeah, I bet that video is in the first one, though, so it doesn't
and
count.
And it's rough when you're in that context. Like, there's a couple parts I was like, why am I so weak? So,
get it together.
Yeah. You pansy?
All right, so that's the one big shock out of your...
Yeah.
Bottom five. Your bottom five is not really a shocker because you don't watch very many movies.
Obviously.
So it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I really battled with Noah to cap off my top 10.
Noah got pushed off. Noah and something else, I can't think of what it was now, got pushed off because Dawn of the Apes, because Dawn of the Apes was that good.
Dawn of the Apes only counts for one, so how did it knock 2 out of your top 10?
Well, because Noah was going to be there, and then like I was like, oh, what about this one? And then I was like, oh, Dawn of the Apes.
Oh, okay.
You know.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, because unlike Joe, I didn't see only 11 movies this year so far. So, like, I literally was like, oh, here. And then, like, this movie just kept dropping and eventually fell off. And, like, so I was like, this list is too fucking long. Like, why is it top 10? Can we do top 100 movies of 2014 so far, please?
There weren't even 100 movies.
We'll just rank all of them that came out.
Oh, fuck.
Of the ones I've seen, like, there's just so many of them.
We could
plus I added something that
top 15 for like, sure.
I was looking at the list and I was going to add something that didn't even come out this year. We saw it like this year. I was like, what? Well, I saw it this year. I was like, what?
What was it?
Zero Theorem.
Oh, okay.
It's not out yet.
It is out online.
Oh, online?
Yeah, like on digital. Okay, not like stolen, like, well, like no, or borrowed.
In theaters, it hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, which is weird though, because like.
I forgot that they do. Listed, I forgot that iTunes does that every once in a while.
Well, it lists the release date as of last November in theaters because it hit like two cities. And then it's like national release in September. I was like,
"We go wide releases here."
Almost a fucking year later. God damn. So top five, I guess.
Let's
for me.
Go.
Yeah.
So my top five will be Godzilla, because the movie's fucking dope as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No matter what anyone says, if they say different, I'll punch them in their goddamn faces.
Yeah, and Cody punches faces. That's what he does.
There's two things Cody does. Punches faces and cries in movies. So,
and he ain't watching a movie right now, motherfuckers.
So guess what?
Punching faces.
Yep. Number four is Tusk.
Yes.
That is a surprise one I was talking about where it jumped higher than on the list than I thought. I knew I was going to like it. I knew it was going to be in my top 10 because it did look super dope. And I already knew, obviously, a lot of it because
we
podcast.
Have to talk on that more.
We will. But it is that good of a movie that it just jumped to my top five that quickly. I mean, I saw it a week ago, almost. Not even a week ago, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because Thursday. Yeah. Thursday. So, well, as of recording right now. But super, I mean, we'll talk about it, but super fucking awesome. Number three is Chef. Again, one of the movies that surprised me how good it actually was. I knew it was going to be good because Jon Favreau never leads us astray except for Zathura. To me, Elf, because I can't fucking stand that movie. But Chef is everything you want it to be. And yes, I did cry during it. I cried during Tusk, but not because it was sad or anything like that. I cried because I was laughing so goddamn hard at a certain person in that movie. Because he needs to be in an hour and a half long movie by himself. Because that's exactly who he is.
Just the living in a monologue.
The fucking eye thing, dude.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Number two is Captain America Winter Soldier. Because it's goddamn near the perfect comic book movie. And was until my number one, which is Guardians of the Galaxy. Because that is the perfect goddamn comic book movie. And I was afraid. I knew it was going to be good. But I was afraid that it was going to be too comic book and too sci-fi for mass audiences. Mm-hmm. Because, obviously, you have a sentient talking tree.
And raccoon.
And a raccoon. Like, those two things are, like, hard to push on people.
Like, if you don't sell the... If those two characters aren't right, it ruins the whole entire movie.
The whole thing would just fall flat. Be like, that's awful. But it was tremendous. The special effects in it were amazing. There's one scene that was a little bit rough on the CG, but I can get, like, it didn't ruin it for me. I was just like, well,
which scene was that?
The one where Rocket was, they were in the prison and Rocket had his backpack off and you saw the little, like, holes on his back. Like, it was like that thing where
it's one of the, you're thinking of it, like, the fur looked really real, but when you get to the skin, you always have that type of, like,
yeah, it didn't really look as real as it could have, but I mean, I'm saying I couldn't do it better, but it was like the thing where I was like, if they didn't do a zoom in shot on it, I think it would have been okay. But they did like not a super close up, but they did a close up of his back, and I was like, looks a little wonky ish. And it was real quick, but I was like, it's the only thing that really bothered me in it. But it was such a good movie that I don't care.
Yeah.
That's my 5-1, Joe.
So Joseph. My top five. Number five, The Muppets Most Wanted. Nice. I'm surprised that actually wasn't on your list at all, anywhere.
It wasn't. It was another one that got bumped off. It was like number like 15.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen it too many movies.
It was a really funny movie. It was really surprising.
It's one of those ones I just keep not getting around to somehow.
I never saw the first. I mean, I say the first one, but I mean the first one of the new series that's coming out.
The one came out a couple years ago. That one was awesome. I did love that one.
Yeah, but if you love that one, you will love the second one. The problem with the second one, well, first one I don't want to say problem. What made the second one not as popular, because it did get some pretty bad reviews, is the fact that it's not a kid's movie. Like,
no.
It is not a kid's movie. Like, the first one had some, like, hints at, like, some adult themes, like the chicken singing CeeLo Green's Fuck You or Forget You, if you want to go by the radio edit one. But this one had blatant references to, like, sex. Like, yeah. Not, like, alluding to or, like, hinting at. Literally, unless they...
Full penetration.
Like, literally,
full penetration.
Like...
Full puppet penetration.
Literally, like, oh, it was like, I was like, oh, almost like the boner reference in Turtles. Like,
yeah.
Paying attention, you may miss it. This was like, what? Like the pork and pie reference? I was like, you can't say that to kids. Like, I mean, the kids may not get it, but when they do, they're like, holy shit, like, wow, dude, you like, it's funny. Like, it could be on my top 10, but there are some movies that edged it out.
But that's what I loved so much about it. It was that it had a bunch of those references that, you know, kids wouldn't get, but the adults would. The Usher scene.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. And then you see a bunch of the other like characters that have no really need to be in the movie. What's his name from The Hangover? Zach Galifianakis,
yeah.
Just showing up as a bum in,
yep.
the, that in makes the views. It was like,
yeah.
Oh,
that's classic
funny.
Like Muppet style, though.
Exactly,
yeah,
what it
that
is.
Kind
yeah.
of shit.
That's what I loved about it. Number four, Godzilla.
Yeah.
The perfect monster movie.
Yep.
Just period. Number three, The Lego Movie, which, again, is another one that I was surprised that I didn't see on Cody's list yet.
It's on my list.
Was it on your list?
Yeah.
What
number
six.
Was?
Oh, it was
yeah.
number six? Oh. Apparently,
hey, attention.
Attention.
Sorry, guys. Joe doesn't listen to the podcast, so he didn't know that.
No.
Either after it's recorded or apparently during recording.
Nope.
Joe's like, "Are we? Did we actually record this? I thought it was just
a
funny.
What is
we
a podcast?
So go ahead. Yep.
That explains the microphones. Number two, Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And number one, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
There's no explanation for those two.
Yeah,
because
they're
just they
awesomes.
Are.
Howard the fucking Duck. Michael, what's your
top
five?
Yeah, so top fives are pretty similar, or mine and yours top five are actually
ours
the
are
same,
almost,
just ranked,
almost exactly the same.
Ranked
yeah.
slightly differently. So my number five is Godzilla. The only thing that I've heard bad about that movie that even makes a little bit remote sense is somebody was all like, man, I just really wanted to see Godzilla eat somebody. I was like, won't make sense, but yeah, I do want to see that too.
Damn,
so,
Magellan.
Yeah. Come on. Make Godzilla eat somebody, even if it's on accident. Just make
just
it happen.
Trips and falls and out. Oh.
Well, you know that motherfucker crushed tons of people.
Like, he's like roars and like gets something caught in his throat. He's like, ah, and spits out and goes, breathe it again.
Yeah.
All right. So Godzilla number five. Number four, Tusk, which we'll get to. This, it hurts my feelings so bad that this movie did as poor as it did at the box office.
You knew it wasn't going to do that
well. I knew it wasn't going to do that well, but I was hoping it at least pull 1.4
What did
mil.
It end up pulling?
Not
about
even
800.
Not even
wow.
Yeah,
it was like 860,000.
Almost 900,000.
To be fair, for at least a Kevin Smith movie, I would expect it to.
But I think they overshot it with 600 screens. Kevin Smith even kind of said the same thing, but I think it was cool that they did it, or else I wouldn't have been able to see it.
Oh,
at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
But yeah, Phoenix. We'll talk about Tusk a little bit more and how great it is. My number three is Chef.
Yeah.
The reasons I love these two movies, they're both independent movies. Chef was like a $13, $14 million budget or something like that. Tusk was a $3 million budget. And you couldn't tell by what, like, it looked. If you're watching it to see, like, oh, where did they blow their budget on, you could probably. But if you're just watching it to enjoy it, you can't tell this movie is only a $3 million budget. You know what I mean?
Well, like, Chef, for example, the reason that had the $13 million for that was because of locations. Like,
yeah,
because
he
place.
Shot on location in a lot of different spots.
Yeah. Across the country.
Yeah. And but, yeah, Chef was amazing. The dialogue in it. That's one of the reasons I love all the Kevin Smith movies, too, all the Jon Favreau movies when it's one of his passion projects, like, you know, Swingers or this. Dialogue in it is fantastic. They talk
like regular people.
Like regular people, and it comes off as real. You don't feel like you're watching a movie. You feel like you're watching people having a conversation, and I love that. And then,
there with them.
And then they pull the heartstrings in Chef when you don't really expect it to. And the other thing that Chef has in common with Tusk is walruses. Yeah, they're both walruses at the end. Is the cameo by the two big, big stars that come in it completely steal the fucking show. Completely steal the fucking show.
So Tusk more than Chef on their cameo, but god damn it, they're so fucking good.
Yeah, but so
sons of bitches.
So people, I'll get through my. So Chef number three, I actually put Guardians number two and Captain one. No other reason than just it's. I totally understand, and I could flip a coin. I just feel like Captain was. It didn't feel like a superhero movie watching it. It felt like an espionage thriller, and I love those old school spy movies so much. So that's just really a personal thing for me. But I love Guardians. Like, it's so good. But it's just Captain felt like a cool old school spy movie with just happened to have superheroes in it. So that's pretty cool.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. So top fives are pretty universal, except for people who don't watch movies that are awesome, like Joe.
Aw.
Okay, so he we'll go awesome. Back. And we'll...
He said, like Joe, who don't watch a lot of movies but are awesome. So you got awesome in there.
Yeah, you're awesome, Joe. That's what that meant.
Yeah.
So yeah, with again the similarities between, I mean, we've already talked a bunch on previous podcasts about Guardians, about Captain, and all that.
Not enough.
So with Tusk and Chef, though, I feel like it's important these movies get talked about because, one, like I said, Tusk didn't make that much money. Didn't think it was the super small budget, but I did think it was gonna pull a little bit more money than it did. And hopefully the second weekend, like word of mouth gets around, more people try it out. But we don't know. It was like $3 million. I think they're covered already from domestic sales and like video on demand sales and stuff already. Or the Netflix deals that they're going to get
from it.
So even Kev Smith said they're covered. Like they're not worried about anybody losing money. It just kind of sucks that they didn't make more money. So it kind of impacted a little bit more. But like I was talking about with the cameos, Tusk, it's not really a spoiler because people knew, but towards the end, you get the best Johnny Depp performance since the first Pirates movie.
How much was he in the movie? Because obviously in the trailers, they don't even mention him.
They don't even credit him in the credits.
In the credits.
Yeah, Cody did tell me about that. It was pretty funny.
Gila Point. Played by Gila Point.
Yeah.
It's like,
so they don't even credit him in the credits, which is fantastic. But yeah, he's, I'd say probably like 15 minutes screen time, right?
Towards the beginning or the end?
End. All in the end.
So it is really leading into the second of his Canadian trilogy.
Yeah, his True North trilogy that he's doing, which the next one's going to be a movie called Yoga Hosers, which is going to be more of a vehicle for Gila Point, which would be Johnny Depp. But yeah, it's so hilarious. It's like I said, it's Johnny Depp's best performance since the first Pirates, I think. And in Chef, you get a very small cameo, but fucking brilliant performance by Robert Downey Jr. in it, which just, again, so funny. It steals the show, but it's just much smaller. But when you go back to like the funniest parts, you think of like, you know, John Favreau, this part, but then you always come back to the Johnny Depp scene because it was so good. But it was pretty awesome. What? You okay?
Robert Downey Jr.
I got my
John Favreau this scene, John Favreau that scene, Johnny Depp scene. I was like, wait, what?
The Robert Downey Jr. scene.
So what happens in one scene, the chef, if look way in the back, there's a guy that resembles Johnny Depp who's not because it's actually a woman.
Yeah.
And who was
that
actually
scene
like,
with him was amazing.
Yeah, really good.
Really good.
My bad. That was my fault.
He got all wordy and talky. He was all confused.
Just got really excited.
Yeah. So
I can't talk with Boner.
I can. I just slur my speech a lot.
Yeah, really awkward.
Mike has so little blood in his body when he gets an erection. He has like a partial stroke going on. He's like, drools out of one side of his mouth. It's pretty sexy.
Okay.
And uncomfortable.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So anyway, thoughts on the top 5 years, general?
Not really.
No. What's your iPad doing?
It's saving the top 10 list to the cloud, but
yeah,
for some
save
reason,
it forever. Takes for fucking ever, apparently.
Yeah, because your network.
It's always in a constant state of saving.
The guest network is for losers. All right.
It's two networks.
It's the only password you could remember, probably.
I remember the other one.
No, you don't.
As long as I look at the book.
Yeah.
Where's the book at?
Somewhere else.
Yeah, see, he doesn't know where the book is to look in the book.
If I had to go find it, I could find it. It's just not right in front of me.
Anyway, the main point of this story is go find Tusk and watch it, Joe, and listeners.
And Chef. Okay, Chef's now available on iTunes for $14.99, so go get it because you'll love it.
It's fantastic.
So the thing about
Chef is way more universally
acceptable
than Tusk will be.
Yeah, for
Tusk
sure.
Tusk is going to be one of those cult hits for a long, long time. Yeah. It's going to be around forever.
People it's a Kevin Smith movie. It is going
to
be one of those.
Yeah, it's like Mallrats took a long time to find its footing.
Which is still my favorite Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, and I think Tusk will find its footing and kind of live on forever as one of his best movies. Because it's... No one... Like, I tweeted this. I've never ever watched a movie that has weaved hilarious and creepy as fuck so well. And this, I don't think anybody's ever really tried. You know what I mean? But it turns on a dime multiple times, and it goes from scary fucking creepy to just laughing out loud hilarious. And you got to credit one. This is Kevin Smith. You know what he does is dialogue driven. So when he gets to feeling like he believes in something and he's putting it on paper, it's gonna be good. Michael Parks knocked it out of the park like he usually does. No pun intended. Justin Long, really good. I'm not a huge Justin Long fan. Really good in this one. Like really, really good. And then of course Johnny Depp, fucking
goddamn glorious.
Making you're gonna see what's gonna happen is Yoga Hosers is gonna get more publicity because it's starring Johnny Depp essentially. So people are gonna see that, and then they're gonna be like, "Oh, Johnny Depp was really funny in it." And then they're gonna go back and find Tusk to see his performance in that one. But it's good shit.
Oh yeah. What I was gonna say though is like with, so they're both Chef and Tusk, very, wordy movies. The biggest difference is now the similarities to them is profanity flies. Like nobody's business.
Yeah.
It's very, they're
very unapologetic radar.
Like they are rated R. Well, Tusk is rated R because of a little bit of violence and gore in it. Like a very scotch, a little bit.
Language is ridiculous.
Language is where both of them hit their R rating because neither of them have nudity in them. But the language is like, well, it's like listening to this podcast. It's like, it's just over the top sometimes, but it's like, not in a way where it's bad over the top.
I disagree. I think this podcast is way too over the top and horrible for people.
Wow, thanks for selling that one, Mike.
Explicit, explicit.
I do tag it that way. But the big thing about like Tusk, their bad language is used because it's two potty mouthed dudes that run a podcast. But in Chef, it feels more real because the fact that they are, they're cooks and
that's
like
their culture,
thing.
Like that's
so that's like
real.
If you were going to into a kitchen where you like patrons couldn't hear what's happening back there, it's dirty, it's filthy. They're talking about sex. They're using the F-bomb.
It's real life.
Yeah, it's real. It's
saying.
Very real. I mean, so it adds into it. But like the little things that like. That Chef did that won my heart were like the usage of like social media in a way, especially Twitter.
Yeah.
But like the way like they introduce it to this character, it makes you feel like he's real because he's like he's this former celebrity chef who falls from grace because he has become lackluster in a way. But when they introduce him to Twitter, his response is, "What the fuck is a tweet?" Like the way it does it is so beautiful and the way and so well done that like I was sitting in the theater like a lot of times when you watch those movies you sit in the theater like oh like that almost doesn't make sense. It made me laugh harder because of that, because I was like, oh, that's exactly how someone who is in the limelight who's not really tech savvy would be. And then like the little things like him trying to type and like you can see like he's like hunting and pecking and on the keyboard and stuff like that just made it so much funnier, but also so much more of a realistic feel to it. Where on Tusk, on the other hand, It's just vulgarity. That's why it's not as you know, popular, and it's not going to be as popular with the crowds in the theaters, because Kevin Smith has a lot of fans, but unfortunately there are a lot of fans that don't go to theaters because they're shitbags. And the ones that do, we don't want to be around. I let Mike talk about that one.
Nope, not bothering with that one.
Nope. All right. We talked about it once in the podcast.
Okay, so what happened is a while back, and I don't know what episode it was because I kind of forgot to look this up. But a while back, we talked about a guy. We went to see, the three of us went to see Kevin Smith and Andy McKelfresh do a podcast called Edumacation at Stand Up Live.
Really funny.
And we talked briefly about a shitbag that was in front of us, talking about how he's doing a podcast now and just talking the ear off of these two dudes in front of us, younger kids. We felt really bad for him, but he was such a fucking douchebag, like how he was talking, to the point where we were in line for like an hour, and the whole time
it felt longer.
It felt like 6 days. This dude was so awful. Like, we hated him so bad by the time we finally got to go in and sit down. And then sure enough, we go, not Joe because he doesn't like going to movies, but Cody and I and my wife, we go to watch Tusk at the first showing that's available, 8 o'clock Thursday night. We're super excited. We get in there. There's like 20 people in there. There was 20. I counted.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people that are in there, we had shitbags talking over here, fuckheads talking down there, and cunt faces in the back. Turns out, cunt face in the back.
Oh my god,
same
was it?
Fucking dude.
No, he was in front of us.
Was he?
In the front row, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, same dude that was talking about how he's a podcaster, and he was just really made me want to quit doing a podcast forever and not listen to any of them.
Was he explaining to the next person?
He was talking like he was already like, oh, what was cool is like this. It was so bad, dude. Like, we caught like a small, like, we realized it was him, and it was just, we ran. We didn't want to deal with it. We exit out the side instead of going through the main lobby area. We're like, oh, hopefully you won't come this way.
Hopefully this is our actual exit as we walk around all the way around the building again.
Totally worth it.
But yeah, so that dickwad was there. But no, it was, I don't know. And the whole ideal behind Tusk is not a lot of people are going to get it. Like, it's, and he even says it, I think everyone that's involved kind of knew it. They knew this was a good chance that this movie wasn't going to do the numbers they would hope they were going to do in the box office. But it's a shame, because if you go in knowing what's going to happen, and like, I listened to the podcast where this movie was born from, the Smodcast, like 256 or something like that. The Walrus and the Carpenter is what they labeled it. Mm-hmm. So I listened to that the day it came out. So I've been listening to this story from, which I think is cool, and I think that's probably why it feels so much more interesting to me than it might other people. It's because I literally heard the birthplace of the ideal, which was crazy. And Kev Smith has done a good job of keeping you updated through his various podcasts and social media, exactly, and his blog, so exactly what's going on each step of the way. So this is the first time you watch a movie and you're like, I was essentially there for the birth of the ideal. Okay. I heard about every single update going on until finally the accumulation of being able to watch this movie and see what he was thinking, what we were thinking, how we were picturing it, how it ended up looking at, like, and no bones about it, dude. They put Justin Long in a walrus suit at the end of this fucking movie. Like, there's talk about people like, oh, they might not show it. It's just so glimpse of it. He gets a lot of screen time as a walrus in this movie. Oh, it's fucking weird, dude.
Sounds creepy.
Yeah, it's so twisted. It's so creepy. And it's such a ridiculous idea that you laugh when you see it, but then you're creeped out by it at the same time. So the more you're going, you're like, they really put him in a walrus suit. This is stupid, and you're laughing. But it looks like, it looks creepy and looks good for what they're trying to do. But And then, like, after you get past kind of chuckling at it, it gets real and it gets fucking creepy and dark, and you don't want to laugh anymore. You just want to be creeped out by it. But yeah, it's awesome. It's completely wholly original, and it's a shit shame that it hasn't done better.
Very true. Go watch Tusk, you sons of bitches.
And Chef. Go buy Chef. You can
buy
Chef. Yeah,
go buy Chef now, yeah.
And Blu-ray is to be out in like a week or two. So
fair enough. That's true.
Do you think that the amount of money that that Tusk made will affect the movies coming out? I mean, it sounds like they've already got the second one. Yeah, they've already got the second one.
Yoga Hosers is almost completely done. They just have another week down the road with Johnny Depp. So that one's almost completely done and made. It's 2/3 done. So, but on Kevin Smith's most recent Smodcast podcast, he had talked about, like, he said part of him is really glad they already okayed the next movies, because he realized, like, if he didn't have the backing already for Yoga Hosers, he probably would have lost it with the fact that it didn't pull. But was the distribution A24 films. He says they've been real cool, and they already greenlit Moose Jaws too, which would be the third one, which is, as Kevin Smith explains, his version of Jaws just with a moose. So why not watch that?
Which is actually exactly pretty good, because that would have been my next question, is that there really seem to be pet projects of Kevin Smith's.
But what Kevin Smith does is, and he's always been like this, he always comes in on or under budget. He always comes in on time or early, and so his movies will never lose money. They might not make you a whole lot, but he's not going to lose you any money. So as long as he can keep doing that, he'll be fine. But with out of these three, you figure Yoga Hosers is going to make some cash because Johnny Depp's headlining it. It might not set the world on fire or anything like that, but it's going to make more than it costs to make it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it for the top 10 movies. So right now, quick, just to finish up the podcast, we're going to go through what movies we're looking forward to for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Just so you guys can be prepared. And then if we do come back to this again to record our final top 10 list for 2014, if it actually happens, because we'll have to remember we did this, we'll go over it. So probably not. We're a bunch of idiots. So I guess we'll start with the most recent upcoming week, I guess.
Well, I was going to start with, I'd say, this past week, September 19th, just because I know there are movies that came out that we haven't seen yet. A Walk Among the Tombstones. I keep on saying, like, A Walk in the Tombstones for some reason, because saying weird, A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Wow, why do I keep walking these fucking tombstones?
I know, it hurts.
They're solid as shit. Maybe like stone or something.
Walks into tombstones.
An hour and a half long, him stumbling into, oh, my knee. Oh, my other knee. Shit, I hit my ball. You know, it's like super funny that way, too. Yeah, so that movie looks super dope, looks super dark as shit, and it's rated R, finally.
Yeah.
A bunch of goddamn pussies.
Zero Theorem gets the, I guess, the nationwide release this week, and apparently Cody really liked it. I know Cody, I think it is, has said that he wants to see The Maze Runner.
Yes, I do. I want to see it.
I just don't understand
it. I don't either.
So I don't really want to. I don't know about Mike's opinion on
it. Nah, I don't want to watch it.
He's going to.
He doesn't
want to
watch it. All right.
I want to see Hector in the Search for Happiness, though. That looks awesome. That's a good time. It's the Simon Pegg movie. It's the same week.
Where is it? Oh, it's the thing with the giant smiley face. Yes. And
tiny little writing, because this...
Yeah,
I saw the first preview for that, I think, on Tusk, right? Was it Tusk?
Full trailer on it, yeah.
That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it looks really funny.
Then the week of September 26th, which would be this next...
Yeah, as of recording next week.
Yeah. No, it's going to know. It's going to come out way late.
We have The Equalizer, which I really want to see. Yes. Box Trolls, I know Cody really wants to see. I'm not really a huge fan of. I don't know about Mike's opinion.
I'm all in on The Equalizer. I could really care less about Box Trolls, but Equalizer for sure. I want to see.
I loved the TV show as a kid, so I'm really hoping that it's close to that. I don't mind that it's Denzel Washington.
It's coming out in IMAX. Isn't that weird?
Also rated R.
Doesn't seem also an IMAX movie.
But yes, it does not seem like an
IMAX
movie.
Hit Girl's in it.
That's right. Hit Girl is in it. Right.
Yeah, she plays a hooker. That's all I'm guessing from the previews.
Let's see. Skipping forward, October 3rd. Really, the only notable one there is Annabelle.
Nope, Gone Girl.
Gone Girl? Oh, shit. Yeah, okay.
So Ben Affleck. Never mind, I saw that.
Joe doesn't know how to read what's in front of him.
Well, no, when you cover half the... unfortunately, the website that we're looking at just has the posters for it.
And some of them are exactly the best. Some of them
are really hard to see, and you can't zoom in. For some weird reason, you can't zoom in on this website. It's really...
I want to see Gone Girl.
Yes.
Yes.
Gone Girl looks dope as shit. And
I don't want to see Annabelle.
Yeah, no.
That's why I was saying it looked like the only notable one until...
Keep it scrolling, buddy. Keeping it scrolling.
Keeping it going. October 10th, you have Dracula.
Untold.
There are other movies, but I don't really care about them. Anybody else?
The Judge.
The Judge is the one I want to see.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
Dracula Untold, I want to see it, but I have this bad gut feeling that it's going to be awful.
Your website all weird and shit.
Apparently, when you click on the posters. Thank you.
Jump like, somewhere. So October 17th is not a whole lot of good stuff. Birdman, the crazy fucking Michael Keaton movie.
I want to see that just because it's Michael Keaton.
I do. I'm not going to see it in theaters.
Crazy as fuck.
I just don't think it's going to be that good, but it looks fucking weird. Book of Life seems pretty funny, but I don't think I'll see it in theaters. Mainly because Channing Tatum's in it and I want to give him money. Jake Gyllenhaal's Nightcrawler looks fucking weird as shit. October 24th, you have, which I thought it got moved, but maybe it got moved this time, is Kingsman, The Secret Service, which is the Mark Miller comic book turned into a movie, which I still have reservations about if it's going to be good or not.
I hope it'll be awesome.
I want to see it.
I'm going to see it.
One way or the other. But I think I'm going to enjoy
it. The one I'm leaning towards more that week is John Wick.
Oh, yeah, John Wick's gonna be
so
awesome.
Badass.
Yeah.
And it's rough because those two movies are very similar in like their audiences are going after. Like the action, Kingsman's gonna have more comedy in it. Hopefully, if it retains anything from the book. But John Wick just looks fucking dope. Early reviews are already saying it's awesome, so that's even more, you know, exciting.
And sidebar: Keanu Reeves says he wants to do a Speed 3. So
also true.
Let's make this happen, people.
Yeah. October 31st.
They should do it on a boat this time. You know what I'm talking about?
They should do it on a plane.
Oh,
you cannot speed. Go under 900 miles an hour.
You can
shit.
Cannot
this
drop
is a
little
nonstop
this.
Flight. Speed nonstop. Anybody? No. Speed 3 with
okay,
a vengeance.
Let's just skip over that. Oh, and one of the worst looking horror movies out, and it's not Annabelle, is the Ouija.
Yeah, that looks pretty dumb as fuck.
It looks stupid as shit. It's
actually,
about
we're,
a Ouija board.
We're deep into October and into this list. Are there any good horror movies?
No.
We don't even get a...
That's one of the things I think if Tess gets re-released around Halloween, I think it might...
I just think I just think that...
This will be the first October, too, that we won't have a...
second.
It wasn't last year either?
No, because the moved marked ones. We're talking about Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, Paranormal Activity.
Marked ones was moved to March of this year. Well, so they skipped last October, yeah.
That's
yeah,
kind
it's weird. Because right? 5 was going to come out, and then it got pushed because of delays, because of certain actors that are in, I guess. And then it got, marked ones got pushed. Because that was always intentional, not pushed, but marked ones was always released for a different release time, and it's
right.
Just completely skipped over October. They could have put it out. I'm pretty sure it was done by then. But October 31st is Horns, which looks fucking nuts as balls if you haven't seen it. It's got Daniel Radcliffe or Harry Potter in it, and he is accused of killing his girlfriend.
He's accused of being a wizard.
And he has like horns growing out of his head. Looks like a goddamn devil.
You're
it
a wizard,
fucking
Harry.
Weird. November 7th is going to be a big one. Joe has an erection. Table starting to tilt.
Yeah.
Interstellar, which is Christopher Nolan's new movie.
Get that thing off my leg, man.
With Matthew McConaughey. It looks fucking dope.
That's the one I'm sure is gonna bump into my top 10. Just because it's Chris Nolan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
it's probably
gonna
bump
10.
Into the, you know, top. That's gonna probably be my third one, maybe even second. It probably has enough behind it to bump.
And Big
Captain
Hero
America.
6.
Big Hero 6 looks super fucking dope. It looks hilarious.
It's
from the
funny.
Team that brought you all the newer Disney CG movies. So Wreck-It Ralph, Tangled, and Frozen. It looks awesome. It's got a great cast in it. It's very different. It is the first Marvel property being done by Disney, which is pretty cool. It is based on a Marvel comic book, not a hugely popular one, which is weird that they picked. But it looks super awesome. So I'm really excited about that one as well. November 14th, we have Fury, which looks super fucking crazy.
Yep.
Brad Pitt's tank movie. Dumb and Dumber 2.
Which could be bad, but I'm going to watch it.
Yep, going to watch it.
It's going to make me laugh because it's going to be dumb.
Yep. The trailer makes me laugh, so I'm sure I'm going to laugh at those parts in the movie, too. The one movie I can say that with Channing Tatum in it that I actually want to see.
Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher looks fucking crazy.
Shit looks fucking weird as fuck, man.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about that because it even has Steve Carell in it. But
playing
like,
a dickwad. Yeah.
And they give him his weird nose that makes him look super creepy, and he looks really like thin and gaunt, so that's kind of crazy. Mike's favorite new film franchise, fucking Mockingjay Part 1.
I'm
Catching Fire. I don't know why anyone still watches those movies. Horror Bosses 2.
Which I'm going to see, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have
high
hopes.
It's not going to be a top 10 movie.
Just a movie that didn't need a sequel, I thought, but whatever. Then there's the crazy-ass Christian Bale fucking Exodus. Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton, I think his name is, right?
With a poster that looks like somebody who just learned how to do Photoshop.
Yeah, it's super fucking weird.
I'm going to take a picture of this full-colored poster with a filter on it and then post that as our poster.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It looks crazy. Hey, it's from the guy who made Gladiator.
You look at it and it's like, hey, does anybody have a picture of Christian Bale? No. Okay, you're going to dress up in this armor and we'll just copy and paste his head onto your body.
Then there's The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, which
is going to be awesome.
Be fucking ridiculous.
That's probably going to break the top five of my movie list.
December 19th, you can just skip movies all in general because both of them look fucking awful.
Well, after that, it just kind of peters off. And it really wasn't anything.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2, which I'm not going to see in theaters. Into the Woods, which I still don't know what to think about that movie.
You don't want to see Paddington Bear?
No, man. Really creepy. The fucking bear creeps me out, dude.
It has actual eyes instead of buttons eyes. It's an actual bear, actually.
Yeah, it's a bear. It just looks so weird. Plus, Colin Firth does the voice, which I wouldn't picture his voice as Paddington. I would have thought more of like a younger person's voice.
Well, not if you want the bear to be an old person with like that Gary Coleman disease and then stabs people. During the nighttime.
It's not what Paddington's about at all.
No, but I think that's the twist they're making. That bear looks creepy and it sounds fucking like a serial killer. Like a really methodical fucking murderer.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
That's fucking awkward.
Let's wrap this up.
So, yeah, that's it for that. So, it's our top 10 and what we're looking forward to in the year. Mike wants to rush through here.
Yeah. Let's go get a burger.
Yeah, we're not...
I thought we were going to go for Chinese.
Oh, yeah. Let's go get Chinese after food.
This. Anyways, so that's it for this week's episode. Comes naturally. We are...
Joe.
I am Mike.
I am Cody.
And that's Cody.
It for this week. So we will talk at you later.
Bye, motherfuckers.